From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we'll continue the series of studies of the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes, but first we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called An Expert Searcher. The text is found in Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. This he does at the first, when his elect are like wandering sheep that know not the shepherd or the fold. How wonderfully doth the Lord find out his chosen! Jesus is great as a seeking shepherd, as well as a saving shepherd. Though many of those his father gave him have gone as near to hell gate as they well can, yet the Lord, by searching and seeking, discovers them and draws nigh to them in grace. He has sought out us. Let us have good hope for those who are laid upon our hearts in prayer, for he will find them out also. The Lord repeats this process when any of his flock stray from the pastures of truth and holiness. They may fall into gross error, sad sin, and grievous hardness, but yet the Lord, who has become a surety for them to his Father, will not suffer one of them to go so far as to perish. He will, by providence and grace, pursue them into foreign lands, into abodes of poverty, into dens of obscurity, into deeps of despair. He will not lose one of all that the Father has given him. It is a point of honor with Jesus to seek and to save all the flock without a single exception. What a promise to plead if at this hour I am compelled to cry, I have gone astray like a lost sheep.
True and dry.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you free of charge a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Quite some time, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, we have learned much about who the Holy Spirit is and what his ministry involves, both to the saved and to the lost. As Dr. Cairns approaches the conclusion of this series, he turns our attention to improper and sinful responses to the Holy Ghost. In this message, entitled Resisting the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns takes his text from Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, where in verse 51 he said to the Jewish leaders, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Now Dr. Cairns commences this message, resisting the Holy Spirit.
Acts 7:44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus, or Joshua, into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God, and desired to find a tabernacle for the house, or for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these familiar verses from his precious word for his name's sake. The words of our text are in verse 51 of Acts chapter 7. A very strong statement from Stephen to the Jews of his day. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Misunderstanding this text has caused quite a number of people to scorn the doctrine of what we call irresistible grace. It sounds a very simple thing to say. You talk about irresistible grace, and yet we have it on the authority of the Holy Scriptures that men do always resist the Holy Ghost. How then can you possibly talk about irresistible grace? It is a figment of some theologian's imagination. It is the production of a theological school and not of the Word of God. When it's put like that, of course, it has the color of common sense and better even of Scripture to it. But when you look at it a little more closely, you find that we're talking about two very, very different things. When we talk about irresistible grace, we are speaking of that peculiar work of the Holy Spirit of God in regeneration. We are speaking not of His general call that goes out every time the gospel is preached, but we are speaking of His effectual call whereby He brings a soul to saving faith in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, we find that God's effectual call is coextensive with His eternal decree of predestination, whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. Whom He did predestinate, He called. Whom He called, He justified. We are dealing with exactly the same number of people, the identity of the whom in that text of Scripture is the same in all its parts. And so we find that God's effectual call is exactly coextensive with His decree of predestination. So that what we are talking about in the effectual call, or what we're talking about under the term irresistible grace, is God's Holy Spirit coming to a soul that is dead in sin, without strength, without the slightest motion toward God, without the slightest desire by His nature toward Christ or toward the law or the saving grace of God, however you want to put it, it is the work of the Holy Ghost upon that dead soul to create life within him. And as A.A. Hodge, the great American theologian, once pointed out, no matter what a man's stated theology is, it is the witness of the conscience of every born-again believer that the very first motion of spiritual life within him is the production of God without anything of man added thereto. Now, of course, it's not to say that the Holy Ghost saves us against our wills, but it is to say that the Holy Spirit imparts to our wills a new, prevailing inclination toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That whereas before our wills were set inveterately against Christ, now by the creative act of the sovereign Spirit of God, there is placed within those wills a mighty disposition toward Christ. That becomes the determining and the prevailing disposition of the soul. This is not mere persuasion. Oh, he does persuade us to receive Christ freely offered in the gospel. But before he can persuade us, he creates within us a disposition to receive such persuasion. A very simple illustration, as I have often indicated, is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. We are told by the Holy Spirit in Scripture that when we are saved, we are raised from the death of sin. And so when Lazarus is raised from the dead physically, it is a physical illustration of a greater spiritual reality. Now when Lazarus was raised from the dead, that was by the definite creative word of Jesus Christ. He was totally dead, and yet by the word of Christ, he came forth. You can think that through for yourself. Did Lazarus come forth because he obeyed the call of Christ? Yes, he did. A sinner is told to come to Christ, and so he comes forth in obedience to the call of Christ. But go a little more into it. Did Lazarus receive life because he obeyed the call of Christ? Or did Lazarus obey the call of Christ because he had first received life? Obviously, a dead man could obey nothing until there's life there. The call of Christ was an irresistible call to Lazarus. Lazarus didn't choose whether he would stay dead or come alive. Now, once he had come alive, he chose to come out of the tomb. You see, that's the first action of new life. Bless God, as soon as Christ, by his Holy Spirit, creates life in a man, that man doesn't stay in his sin. A regenerated man does not stay in sin. He comes out into life and light and liberty in the Lord Jesus. That's irresistible grace. Now, far from being in conflict with the idea of our text, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, the doctrine of irresistible grace is in absolute and perfect accord with it. For both the doctrine of irresistible grace and this text confirm that men by nature have an inbred opposition against God. That's what the text is talking about here. It's this natural depravity and corruption of heart that would make a man an enemy of God and make a man, in the words of the text, resist the Holy Ghost. And the circumstances of this text are certainly instructive. Stephen here is speaking to the Jewish Sanhedrin. This is his great sermon. Just before he dies, he's preaching. What a way to die, preaching Christ, standing up for the Lord Jesus. And as he preaches, he details the dealings that the Lord had taken with the children of Israel throughout their history. The constant grace of God in their lives. And as he details God's gracious dealings with them, he also details for them their continual lapses into idolatry and into sin. So that Stephen's sermon is a monument to the grace of God and a constant reminder of the fallibility of man. Now it is very, very interesting to note where Stephen's sermon really ended. He got as far as Solomon's temple. Solomon built this great temple, a splendid building, perhaps the most glorious building. Indeed, in some ways, undoubtedly the most glorious building ever built on mortal earth. And here, as Stephen talks about this great building with all its beauty, he says, "Howbeit, verse 48, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands." It's not to say the presence of God never came into the temple. That's not what Stephen is saying. That would be untrue. For the priests were overcome by the glory of God's presence in that temple. But he's saying this, that God is never going to be satisfied with a mere building of bricks and mortar. However elaborately it is appointed, that building can never hold the presence of God, and that building can never guarantee that God's presence will be with the people. And yet the Jews of Stephen's day were very proud of their temple. Now it was a lot less glorious than Solomon's temple, but they were so proud of it. They had all the external forms of worship. Oh, you could go up there and you could smell the reek of shed blood and burning flesh and burning incense. You could see the priests in their flowing robes here and there and everywhere. And on the Day of Atonement, you could be in the midst of all that awful pomp and solemn ceremony as the high priest went into the holy place, or the holiest of holies, in the temple. They had all the external forms of worship, but they had nothing of the real fear of God. They had nothing of the real presence of God, and they had nothing of the real power of God. They had a temple, but they had no vital godliness, and therefore, in the words of our text, Stephen says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." He says, "Your fathers kept up appearances, but they slew the prophets whom God sent to prophecy of the coming Messiah." You are proud of your temple, says Stephen, and you have done worse than your fathers. They slew the prophets of Christ. You have become the betrayers and the very murderers of Christ himself. You have the law, but you haven't kept it. You've broken it to murder Christ. He's saying your own law condemns you. And according to the law that you so venerate, you stand under the wrath and curse of God, and yet you continue to reject the only one who can save you from its condemnation.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408, or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.